This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. 7:47 a.m, Monday the 7th of September. And we're taking a look at some local stories now this morning. Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has recently proposed an increase in the Social Welfare Department's monthly aid for those in need. So the current amount is between 200 to 300 ringgit. Now Muhyiddin's proposal is for 1,000 ringgit to be given on a monthly basis.
And this was mooted in Cabinet last week. The proposal has been lauded by NGOs and the like, but some observers have said that the move might not augur well for the poorer communities in the longer run. Social activist Syed Azmi Al-Bashi, who heads the Persatuan Untuk Anak Kita, or Puak Payong, believes that more concrete long-term measures are needed to lift the standard of living for those in poverty, because cash is not the only solution to the problem faced by them. And I guess there's also this worrying over-reliance on cash handouts, I guess.
So Syed Azmi joins us on the line this morning to break down the socio-economic intricacies that come with government cash aid problems. Syed, thank you so much for joining us. Now, cash aid handouts have been entrenched in our system for a very long time indeed. What is the downside that you see here?
The downside? Well, actually, the first time I heard about it, I thought, do we have money? That was my first question. But to increase to 1,000, I was thinking, is it better to actually give it out to more families or to actually give higher than 300 ringgit per existing family, or to use that money to create more platform for them to get out of poverty? So I wasn't sure how. And another thing about the narrative, when he said that, now everybody now is already asking the Welfare Department and Women's Ministry to apply for 1,000 ringgit. So it's not to apply for 1,000 ringgit. It was supposed to be the ceiling limit is up to 1,000. Not everybody will get 1,000 ringgit. So you see, what is happening right now is they feel so entitled. Everybody thinks that we are poor, we are entitled to get 1,000 ringgit. And to a lot of family who is really, really poor, and as we know by practice, that the ones really, really poor, they don't ask. Now, everybody thought that that's 1 month's salary to a lot of them. And this is the time to get this 1 month salary. So this is the problem with this. And I don't think this will actually help. I'm sorry. I don't think so. We don't have good financial literacy. We are thinking that it will improve quality of life. But what is that actually? And have we actually learned from the vulnerable and also the poor group?
I think in this COVID-19 situation, I think some cash may be very useful for some families. But I think, of course, like what you say, I think in the longer term or even the medium term, how can we wean off cash from cash aid handouts?
That's true. That's a very good question. I like that. And it's true that even my NGO, we give out cash. We did not give out anything in form of material, because during COVID, and it still is at this part, that financial aid is much needed. However, I think what the Prime Minister was saying is for the group that is already listed inside the JKM list of people who are considered poor. Whereas we know that COVID actually affected everyone, including the M40, who is now actually going to be in a big dilemma whether they have a job or not. So that's two different things. Like, if you say that it's for COVID, then yes, everybody in one way or another needs help. But if we are talking about the welfare list, it's the same, basically. So basically, if you're increasing that, then it is a lot of problem, because who wants to be out from the list then? The whole aim is for them. This is actually a cushioning period when you have financial aid. That's why Welfare Department and also places like Zakat, they do renewal every year. So they have to come back and to renew. And this is good. It's already good. They are under-resourced with people. But at least we would know, like, over 1 year, what is the improvement? If not, people will just create more stories saying that they're always deprived. If it's 10 years that way and they can live at 300 ringgit every year for 10 years, why do you think that we should increase? Unless they're saying that, oh no, we have schooling children, they cannot go to school and all that. And those are different things. But then again, why are they just happy being there? So sometimes I was wondering whether we used to talk about happiness index. The happiness index among the community, we should learn from them as well. I'm not to say to put that happiness index better than GDPs or anything else, but there is a way to look into how they live and how we can learn from them and what are their real needs. Or that's how I see it. Sorry.
All right, Norris. You've said that the needs of are different from each family, right, and suggested increasing aid for those who need it the most. Now, when it comes to, I guess, breaking that down, what criteria should the government be looking at then to determine who within a community falls in this category? What are your thoughts on this?
I actually like this part, and this is the part that I'm not very popular. First of all, no, everybody should be registered in one way or another, okay? And I believe that if you are registered, I don't care whether you're registered through IC, registered through Kota Kampung, or the masjid or the churches, as long as you're registered somewhere, at least you would really know who is living in that house. A lot of people will ask, like, oh, he has 9 children. But for all you know, 7 of them already married and stay out. And then only 2 of them who is in actually schooling. So this kind of data is important. So when if you're registered, at least you would know the real story. The thing is, the real story of every household. So we do want people to say, oh, okay, but they just put their elderly parents in their house. Well, if they put their elderly parents in the house, then they will actually take that responsibility. But you need to be registered somewhere. So if you're asking me again the same question, like how would we determine, it all depends on who, how many of them or what situation they are living in that particular house. For instance, as we can see, a lot of NGO go down the ground and they found this house, and it's as if that is the first time the house is, nobody gives help. I don't think so. Everybody would give help to one another one way or another. Malaysians are very generous. They would. They probably cannot make a big publicity out of it, like certain NGOs, but they actually do that. So I was thinking, if that's the case, so the NGO would have a list, okay? And all the Ketua Kampung would have a list. This kind of listing is important to actually make sure that how many or who needs what.
Right.
If you say that they're okay, you, okay, fine. Are they registered? If they're not, okay, get them registered.
Okay. Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Syed. That was social activist and head of Persatuan Untuk Anak Kita, or Puak Payong, Syed Azmi Al-Habshi, talking at the end there about the importance of really record-keeping accurate censuses when it comes to gauging the actual import and the effectiveness of any kind of aid that you're dishing out.
Yeah, so it comes down to data collection and more nuanced approach when giving out cash handouts. And he called for a more comprehensive social protection in some sense, because there are also middle-class people who lost their jobs, right, and they may need some support. Otherwise, we're just going to have policies that trap people in poverty in perpetuity.
Yeah, so I think this is where, I mean, there are a few things at play, right? But I mean, we have reports coming out, and not just in Malaysia but across the world, where lower income families are impacted heavier by this situation, because they don't have savings, they don't have social protection, they don't have things like EPF, right? So this is something that we need to take in we need to get more data, and we're seeing studies from UNICEF come out to really highlight that information. It's not an easy topic to get into, but it's something that needs to be paid more attention to, and how we deliver that aid is always going to be up for debate, right? Some people are like, no, just give out cash, people know how to spend it, versus fix education and healthcare to give that baseline for everyone. So, yeah.
Yeah, but we also have to remember these are unusual times, right? Where everyone is struggling in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis. So during this cushioning period, perhaps some measures may come into play. But what happens after, I think, is also the long-term question that needs to be addressed. But right now, we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And after that, we're having the breakfast grill, where Khoo Soo Chuang speaks with former Dewan Rakyat Speaker Tan Sri Datuk Muhammad Arif bin Muhammad Yusof. So that conversation is happening after the 8 o'clock news. And here to take you into the news is the Mercedes legendary rock break. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.